Good morning and thanks for listening to the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Christine McNamara and Amanda Close are the founders of Brightly. Brightly is a new online resource devoted to helping parents who want to raise lifelong readers. Christine and Amanda are joining me via phone. Christine, Amanda, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Well, we're thrilled to be here. Thanks for having us. This is Christine.
Thank you so much for having us. This is Amanda.
Well, I want to ask first, ladies, it seems this is such a great idea. Why hadn't someone come up with this before? Or have there been resources online for parents to find help for their kids?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways that parents try to find help in finding books for their kids. I know that many parents are lucky enough to have a wonderful independent bookstore nearby or a regular chain bookstore nearby that they can go and talk to a bookseller about what's best. Many parents also are lucky enough to have a librarian in their neighborhood that they can talk to about things. But for a lot of us, we're still confused when we get there about what we're looking for. So we thought that we would try and find a way to get parents information quickly and easily for whatever age their child is at any given time.
So how did you two become collaborators on the founding of Brightly?
I think we started working together long ago, but we also became parents around the same time. And we started to commiserate about the fact that we both were struggling, even though we worked in the industry, to really find the right book for our respective children. And that really sort of set us off on a path as we started to talk to our colleagues and friends, in that we heard them saying the same thing. And that's really how we got started on the idea for Brightly.
Well, I hear it in your voice, Amanda, and I know Christine has said it before, but it is a little overwhelming if you are a parent trying to pick out what your child should read, because there, did I read somewhere, more than 250,000 children's books on the market?
That's our estimate, and I think anyone who's walked into the children's section of a bookstore can tell you that it really does start to blow your mind when you're looking for the perfect dinosaur book for your six-year-old, and you want to try and find it quickly and easily. So, once they turn seven, they're on to the next thing, and you need to look for that too. So, you know, we're trying to figure out a way to kind of grow alongside the kids in everyone's lives and provide recommendations for them at any age and stage.
So this is more than just a set of lists, though. Brightly is very intensive. How do you describe it to folks?
So on Brightly, people will find book recommendations from across the industry. We cover books from all publishers, and we're covering things for every age and stage of reader, from toddlers to teens to grown-ups. So we'll have essays from authors, insights from illustrators, tips and advice on raising readers, as well as things that are very seasonally geared. Right now on our site, we have some summer reading fun packs that turn into a little survival kit for parents to help them through a rainy day or a long car trip or just a quiet afternoon that they want to be spending focused on books. So we're really trying to cover everything from personal essays on reading to entertaining book roundups to recommendations for parents themselves.
And I would just add to that, Brightly is about that emotional connection that people can build with their families through reading. So there is also some real inspiration and sort of talking about how reading can be a focal point in the development of a relationship between a parent and child. We think it's really meaningful, and we love to celebrate that. And so you'll see a fair dose of that inspiration as well.
That's Amanda Close, who, along with Christine McNamara, the other voice you're hearing, are the founders of Brightly, a new online resource for parents raising readers, and we all need all the help we can get. You can find a link to Brightly at our website, wvxu.org. And Amanda, Christine, Brightly, how did you come up with that name and why?
Well, one of my favorite images when I think about a book-obsessed kid is one who is reading under the covers with a flashlight. So that was kind of our starting image, and we went from there. And we all know that books have the power to illuminate kids' lives. And from there, we landed on Brightly. That's how we'd all like to live our lives a little bit more bright. So Brightly.
So you have ages and stages. How did you determine what the best breakdown in ages and stages were? I mean, it begins, well, with very young readers, the ages and stages of a baby, a toddler, 0 to 2, and then pre-K and growing reader and tween and teen. How did you decide to break these down into these particular age ranges?
We did a lot of research, and we looked at a lot of different other kinds of scales out there, and we tried to do it based on just developmental stages. And these are all meant to be guidelines and recommendations. There's nothing hard and fast here, and you know, so many kids develop at so many different rates. It really is a continuum. So these are merely just a way of us trying to bucket similar content together so that it's easy for people to find things for their children at any given time.
And it, you say the tips and advice, and you I noticed as I've been perusing Brightly for a few weeks now that you have a wide range of voices. I mean, there almost all of them are parents, but you have authors, you have educators. How did you gather this group of contributors?
Well, we're still gathering them. So.
Well, yeah, I know you're still building, but you know, you have a great set to begin with here.
Yes, well, we are definitely pulling from the authors and illustrators that we work with regularly through Penguin Random House. We're reaching out to other publishers in the industry to get a broader chorus of voices onto the site as well. We do a lot of work with teachers and librarians in the marketplace, so we are reaching out to them as well. We will have a presence at the upcoming librarian show. We were recently at BookCon, which is a place where book lovers gather to celebrate books and reading. So we've been using just about every avenue we can. We're also very active in social media, so we're finding that people are coming to us too, and we welcome that. We'd love to hear from people what they'd like to see on the site, what they'd like to have us cover, any voices they'd like to add in the choir as we celebrate books and reading as a family. We'd love to have that as part of the conversation.
Well, as part of that conversation, how have those discussions been going since Brightly launched? It was, what, officially back in March, but you'd been working on a beta version for a while. But since it's launched, what's been the reaction to Brightly?
We've had an overwhelmingly positive reaction, and moms share and have opinions, and they want to talk to us, and they're telling us what they want to see, which is terrific. We're finding people posting on social media and tagging each other, like, check this out. We've been joking a little bit about some of the articles being kind of added to the honey-do list. you know, we have some wonderful books about why dads need to read to their kids and the importance of reading aloud to big kids. That's something that people are tagging each other with pretty regularly on social media, which is really fun. So,
well, I love a quote you have on the front page of Brightly, at least today, from Mem Fox. It says, "When I say to a parent, read to a child, I don't want it to sound like medicine. I want it to sound like chocolate." And it seems that Brightly has many tips to do that. What, as parents yourself, what struggles have you faced when trying to encourage your children to read?
I have a son who is a very active 5-year-old, and we live in a pretty small apartment in New York City. And so the struggles I've had with getting my son to sort of focus on reading have been more about the fact that I want to make sure he's getting sort of enough outside time and all this sort of stuff, so that when we sit together and we have time each day to read, that we're able to kind of focus, and that he's been able to get the activity in during the day so that he has a balance of reading time with also physical activity time, which is really, really important. But paired with that, and the way that I get him to sort of settle down, is really finding the topics that he loves to read. And, you know, we've had great success with Mary Pope Osborne. He really enjoys at this stage hearing these stories of pieces of history that sort of come to life for him. And he's retained some of these stories in a way that I had not expected him to really understand or hold on to certain vocabulary levels. He's now obsessed with volcanoes because of the Pompeii book. You know, so there's a real sort of connection that we're finding, that stories are sort of building out and adding to his imagination and the path that he's on as he grows. And so I think the content, you know, and you'll see this in Brightly, the content is incredibly important for kids being engaged, so that it's not broccoli, that it is in fact like chocolate. And that's really sort of what we strive to do. Is every night a win with us? I have to admit, no. And I think that's okay. And that's one of the things about Brightly is, you know, we try to celebrate all forms. And some days, you know, it's really late. It's not time for a book. It's time for bed. But more often than not, we are taking the time to read, and it's become a critical part of our relationship. And I thank, you know, I'm so thankful that I get to work on something in my professional life that also is enhancing my personal life. So I think it's, you know, it's definitely a challenge, and I think we acknowledge that. There are so many sources of distraction now for parents and for kids. But we think that if we persevere, it makes a difference.
And I would imagine, you mentioned Penguin Random House, which Brightly was launched in partnership with Penguin Random House. But this isn't about selling books. This is about sharing this passion for reading. How are you going about trying to encourage other publishers to be involved, even though Penguin Random House is there already?
Well, we are talking to other publishers throughout the industry and working with them to have their authors have a voice on the platform. I mean, we believe strongly in raising that next generation of readers, and that, you know, anything good for books is good for Random House and good for Penguin and good for all of us. So we're just interested in getting the right books in front of the right people at the right time, and we want to make sure we're covering as many as possible. So we're talking to a wide swath of the industry about ways for them to participate on the platform. We hire freelance reporters that are out there creating the articles that you see on Brightly, and they have our full support in going after any books or any authors that they think are appropriate to the coverage that they are doing. So we are supporting that in every way we possibly can.
So what's been the biggest challenge since you've been open Brightly to the world? What has been the most challenging for y'all?
I think the biggest challenge is there's so much to do. How do we focus, and what do we do first?
Oh, yes.
I think, you know, it's been fascinating. I in the beginning, people are sort of like, well, is this really a program? Is there enough here? You know, parenting large is really what people need. But actually, there are a lot of parenting resources online, everything from BabyCenter to Yahoo Parents to all these sort of things. I think the thing that with Brightly that's so exciting is that there's actually so much to talk about relating to reading and relating to support for kids as they age and grow. And this isn't just for babies and small babies. This is really all the way up through high school and even beyond. So for anybody with children in their lives, whether it's somebody who's an aunt or someone who has grandchildren or something else, we're serving a lot of different people, and we love that. And there's been so much support and interest that, you know, for us, the challenge is really focus. We want to do so much, and we have so many different conversations to start and so many different people to speak to and so many themes that are so of interest that I think, you know, how do you accomplish all of this at once when you're also new and, you know, we're a small team but super enthusiastic. I think that's honestly the biggest challenge we have, is making sure that we're putting our best foot out there. We're getting as much done as we can. But you sort of want it all at once. You want everybody to have a great resource. And so that's why we welcome the feedback so much, is that it allows us to sort of plan and put together things for different seasons and really start to build out a really robust program.
And what's been most satisfying? I mean, it has to be the response, because I know as I've been turning parents on to it, they are going bonkers about Brightly.
That's great to hear. I think feedback like that is honestly the most satisfying. I love it when people, you know, send me personal notes, or I've had people mention at cocktail parties, people who I didn't even think really were following what I was doing, independently say, oh, there's this great resource. It's called Brightly. That just makes my day.
You know, in this digital age with all those screens, what's the best advice you have for parents to have kids turn to books, whether they're e-books or the old-fashioned paper books? As you've gathered all this information for Brightly, but what kind of just one little nugget of advice, Amanda or Christine, that you can help parents in this screen-addled world of ours?
You know, I think it comes down to personal preference. And I think, there's no question that we believe in sort of format agnostic, meaning we love physical books because we think the art in picture books is so incredibly powerful for that particular age when you're in that sort of picture book stage. But, you know, I was talking about the, some chapter books earlier. Those make great travel companions on your personal devices. So if the best book is the one you have with you. If you happen to be on a trip with your family and you can't carry a lot of physical books, You know, reading digitally with kids through different apps or on an iPad, that's actually a fantastic experience as well. I think this question about screen time is something that we certainly have been hearing feedback from readers on. People are very curious. You know, we don't have the science behind it, and we wouldn't sort of presume to present that. But we are certainly seeing that a mix of activity, and screen time doesn't always mean unproductive time. Screen time can be extraordinarily productive if you are in fact reading with a device. And so that's really, you know, an interesting twist on it and an interesting way of thinking about it. So I think it's really what's right for parents and how you sort of incorporating that activity into your day-to-day. So if you're looking to read each day and part of that reading time is, in fact, with a device, that's totally great. If that works for you and if the child continues to be engaged, sort of the format is secondary. So it really sort of depends on the age, the stage, and really the situation.
But as long as they're reading, we shouldn't complain too much, right?
Exactly.
Well, thank you, ladies, for both for Brightly and for spending some time with me this morning.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Christine McNamara and Amanda Close, founders of Brightly, online resource for helping parents who want to raise lifelong readers. You can find a link to Brightly at our website, wvxu.org, with much more information. This is the Book Club at 91.7.